Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ladies and gentlemen, Wes... It's not going well. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Welcome a man they thought he was shooting dust, but one got through. It's Richard Herring! Hello! Hello, thank you very much. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, or as all the cool kids are calling it, Rahalastapa. lots of cool kids in today. Yeah, the news has broken. It's a secret I've been keeping from you all, but I did. In July, I went with my wife to the hospital for a scan. She was having a scan, a bit nervous. You know, it's like they've got that kind of black and white monitor as they're kind of... It's that weird Doppler effect as you're watching this kind of thing zooming in. And it's a bit like the opening titles of a 1960s episode of Doctor Who on the screen. But instead of the face of William Hartnell appearing, as I was expecting, the reason I did get such a big laugh is because I know a lot of you are saying, well, Richard, the opening titles of the Doctor Who never featured the face of William Hartnell. That was not brought in until Patrick Troughton, so I will not laugh at that. That joke, that is not... But I didn't know that at the time. So I was expecting William Hart... Instead of William Hart's face, what we saw on the screen was like this tiny human being that was like living inside of my wife. It's 12 weeks old. It was part of my sexcrement. One of my sexcrements had got through. I don't know. I'm not sure how it got in there. I don't know how they're going to get it out. That's what I'm worried about, because it gets... But you'd think with medicine, they'd be able to do something about it straight away, but apparently we have to wait till February before they can extract the...
this sort of awful parasite that is living inside inside of my body. No, it's my baby, and we're having a baby, so that's a very exciting, exciting news. Typical, isn't it? I mean, it's the first time I had sex and I get someone pregnant. That is just. I've decided to stand by my wife. We're going to keep it, so that's the good news. It's quite a big responsibility. But I've been having fun trying to come up with stupid names, which I was reading in one of the pregnancy websites men should not do because it shows that you're not taking the thing seriously. But I've been doing it for months, trying to come up with the most stupid names. I quite wanted to, if it's a girl, I'd like to call it Leanne. So it would be Leanne Herring. That also works for... Well, that would be quite nice. That also works for Leon, or Liam would still work... I'd quite like to go. I was trying to convince my wife I kind of had some Russian and ancestry, and that I had a great grandfather called Hardoff, but she wouldn't go for that. I thought it would be good to call it Red. That would work for a boy or a girl. Red. But then I thought, no, that's too obvious. So I've been trying to sneak it through past my wife by sort of suggesting when I pretend I'm being serious. I go, well, if it's a girl, we call it Scarlet or Ruby. So you're sort of sneaking that in. She went, I like Scarlet. And then I thought, after it was a boy, Rufus, and she really went for that. Rufus Herring, that's great, but Rufus actually means the red-haired one. So I thought I nearly got that through. But if it is a boy, we might go for that, because Rufus Herring sounds like a... You can think of a sort of solicitor or someone, or a judge could be called Rufus Herring. That could be Judge Rufus Herring. That could be a prime-time BBC. It's good fun just trying to come up with stupid names for your... But your child, I'd like sexcrement or just parasite. I mean, I just say things like that. My wife is furious with me. I suspect we will get divorced quite soon. So, but I'll stand by. Despite, I'm 47 years old. And weirdly, I'm actually, when the baby's born, I'm going to be almost to the day the exact same age my dad was when he first became a grandfather. And that'll be my first child, which shows a lot about generations or how. Pathetically immature I have led my life. I should be a grandfather by now, but I'm not. But look, we're going to crack straight on with our first guest this evening. I've given away that we do two in a week. Oh fuck, that's ruined everything in all the excitement. She is probably best known for her three appearances on Rich Terring's Edinburgh Fringe podcast. That is, she's done all right on those, and I like to give some of the new acts a chance. And if I feel they're doing well enough, I bump them up to the proper Leicester Square Theatre podcast. And I'd like, this is a new girl you're going to see quite a lot of. She's a woman, so obviously not funny. So we all know that is. But let's see how she gets. So far, we have a kind of competition in Edinburgh to see who is who wins. We have a battle, basically, to see who wins. And everyone agrees. Out of the three we've done so far, it's 3-0 to me so far. No one disputes that. There is no... We may be 3-0 to Sarah so far. Will you please welcome, I'm going to win tonight, the amazing Sarah Milligan, ladies and gentlemen. Sarah Milligan. Sit down.
You're such a cop. Hello, everybody.
I'm just going to film. This is just for my own entertainment for later on.
What to do? No. I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. What entertainment is it for?
Just for, I just like to watch. I'll just dress you up as Geordie Shore and in my mind. Did you see her in when she did Geordie Shore on her TV show on the Sarah Millican television programme? She dressed up as... I didn't even know what Geordie Shore is. It's a TV show of working class people having sex with each other, and you dressed up as one of them, didn't you?
Yes.
It was very sexy. It was very nice.
So, it wasn't. It was awful.
It was beautiful.
It wasn't. It was one of the girls who was in Geordie Shore. They're very sweet kids, but one of them, she just said to me, and I looked like a proper fucking skunk, and she looked at me and she went, "You look lovely." No, I really don't. I really don't.
Honestly, I mean, I'm usually disgusted by you, as you know, but. I could go.
Oh, the feeling's mutual. I just had to take an antacid because there was so much sick coming up with this. Just the thought of sharing a stage with you. I think your guests are normally a lot closer, but I asked for this distance to be fine. I'll be fine.
It's all right. Backstage, we were saying, but we must start. The thing is, we're doing it now. Let's start with not being too offensive to each other so we've got somewhere to go.
Somebody will have to die by the end of it.
It's going to get terrible. So, Sarah, this is something I didn't know before today, that Sarah Millican is not your birth name. That's your first married name, Millican.
Yeah.
Why did you keep your... You divorced your husband, your stupid husband.
First husband.
Yeah, your first
That's
husband.
That's bad, isn't it? Sounds really bad, doesn't it? My first husband. Yeah. I decided to keep it only because I was writing plays at the time, just short plays and things at the Life Theatre in Newcastle.
Yeah.
And I was just starting to... I had a column in the free paper and I was just starting to, like, you know, I wasn't really on step one of the ladder, but I was sort of near the ladder. Yeah. And I thought, if I show up, it still means something. You're all in the audience, see? Nowhere near any fucking ladders. Thanks to the four people clapping. So I decided to keep it because it felt like if I changed it then the people who were like, oh, I like her stuff, then wouldn't know who I was. And so I decided to keep it. I changed to Miss from Mrs. and I got all of my cards changed. I sent them all off to get them changed. And the first one that came back was my Boots Advantage card because they understood that I needed a makeover. So I decided to keep it. And then now, because I'm known by it, I didn't change it when I got married again.
No. So that's...
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah,
is it
for
weird?
For your second husband, that must be like, okay, so she's not taking this that seriously then.
Well, you know, marriage is temporary, you know that. I mean, this one's going well so far, but it's very early days. But also, he met me as Millican, so, you know...
No, it's fair enough, but and also it rubs it in the face of your first husband, doesn't it, that you're really successful with his
name. Well, I mean, I didn't think of that at all.
This is all I've had from you.
Just in case he wondered, is that the one I used to be married to? Oh, same surname. Yes, it must be. It's not a common surname either. So I didn't want to go back to my maiden name, so I just kept it. I didn't really know what to do, so I just stuck with it.
And it would have been Sarah King.
Yes.
See, and it's not as good. It isn't as good. But then it's hard to know.
Well, my parents might listen to this. Okay. They won't. They don't know who he is. They've not even tried to learn. It's not a point.
I do know who your dad is, though. That's weird, isn't it? Your dad is kind of famous and more.
Yeah. So my dad is. Because we did the pilot for the TV series and understandably, like, producers and things were like, oh, and I was like, let's interview my dad. And they were like, oh, really? And then I said, look, try it on the pilot. That wasn't going to go on the telly. We'll see. And lo and behold, he was brilliant. And they went, okay, we understand. Yeah. But then when the first episode actually went out on the telly, the first series, my dad rang the next day. And I said, what does it feel like? And did you watch it? And he said, I got recognised today. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. I said, where? And he said, at the dentist. And I said, that's because that's your dentist. Like, he had an appointment. So that's why they recognised him. I think he likes all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. It's a bit shame when, you know, your dad is more successful as a TV star than I am. That's a kick in the face.
I nearly jumped in with more than you, but then I thought that's rude. But then you went there anyway, so I could have done. Missed an opportunity to be rude to him.
I'm doing,
slacking.
Doing your job for you. So I'm having a human baby. So
you're not, are you?
I've done the hard bit.
Your wife is.
I've done the very hard bit. And it's harder for the man because at least the woman's growing it inside and doing something. I've got this. It's really boring waiting for it to come.
It's harder for you because of your age.
Yeah.
Really. You know, because you're going to be like how old when it's born?
I've been 47 and a half.
Wow. And you'll still be able to pick it up and stuff, will you?
I've been in training. That's why I've been
losing
weight. Just
picking other people's babies. Yeah.
running along with them. So would you? Is a baby? Because I'm decided to do. Because my career hasn't gone as well as I hoped it would. If I'm honest, I'm going to breed.
It's gone about as well as we all thought.
Well,
it
would. Well, no, but I was hoping. That's by the by. I was hoping it'd be better. But I'm going to breed a super comedian, because my wife's also a comedian.
That's true.
And then I'm just going to train the baby from... Just make it into a comedian. In 20 years' time, it's going to win all the Perrier Award and stuff. For me.
Like,
and then
like
it's going to
go,
that's for my dad! Fuck you!
But don't you think if you train...
Yeah.
Don't you think you need to get some guest trainers in? I mean, I'll pop in if you like.
But that's it's going to be either that or the president of the earth. You've got very high aspirations for my child.
A lot of pressure.
It is.
But not even got hands yet.
I think it's important to live your life vicariously through your own children to make up for your own failures.
You see, because I'm not going to have kids, so I just had to do it myself.
Yeah. It's a lot of pressure. Is that a definite decision? You don't want to have kids?
Yeah, wanted them. Had a fleeting moment once. Where I thought of a couple of names that would be good, and my ex-husband, as is now, went, oh, I don't really like those names, so I went, oh, I'm not going to bother. Because, if I've got to carry the fucking thing around, like, not just, like, when it's growing, but, like, after that as well, because they can't walk for ages, then I would at least be able to shout whatever I like, name-wise, and he wasn't keen on the name, so I just thought, I'm not really bothered.
Okay.
I've never had...
What name was it?
I'm not going to tell you that.
Okay.
Richard. Wasn't shortened to Dick. Are you having a laugh? I've never been... I'm maternal towards animals and other adults, where, like, I'm one of those people who says, text me when you get into it so I know that you haven't died on the way home. One of those.
So just your cats?
No, they always stay in. They've got keys. It's fine. I just prefer animals.
Yeah.
But it's fine. I mean, there's people like you who are procreating, so I don't need to,
That's true.
So thanks.
That's all right. That's good. I've got cats as well, though. So we've got that.
So have you got to get rid of the cats?
Well, no, I think we'll probably keep
them. They drink the milk from the baby and push the pram over? That's what I read.
They
do, don't they? And then they weigh in its face. Yeah. And then they sometimes eat their hands.
I'm a bit worried about how the cats will cope with this new creature
coming
in. How the
cats will cope.
Yeah, well, you know, we have... But I'm also delighted, because it was good to have the cats first, just to check that I could keep something alive.
Do you start with plants and then cats?
Yeah. I had a plant, but every time I had a plant, it would die. That's why I thought I'd probably not.
Did you let the cats know that when you got them? That's quite terrifying. They just see loads of dead plants and start trying to get out of the house.
They try and kill. The only plant that survives is a rubber plant, but they eat that whenever they get a chance to. The cats. Do your cats eat plants?
They eat a spider plant, but we googled it. Apparently, it's all right. They might just have the shits, but that's all right.
Yeah, but they get the shits.
I've got a mop.
But I don't know how they'll cope with the baby, but they'll have to.
How many cats have you got?
I've got two.
And are you...
What have you got? You've got two.
I've got two. You see, because I think two is, like, normal, and then three is, like, ooh, isn't it? Although, the cat flat that we got says you can have up to 19. That's good. I told that to my husband, he wasn't overly keen. But it says I'm allowed. It says you're allowed up to 19. Why didn't they just say 18? Well, that would be 19. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Nearly 20. Is it one that you can get into by the chip in the cat?
Yes, but it doesn't work.
What doesn't work?
No, because we tried putting the cat through and it didn't make it open.
Yeah.
It's a lot of faff. So we just gave them keys.
Because I would quite like that for my front door if they just put a chip in me. I mean, it's the beginning of the end if they start chipping us, isn't it? If they literally do that. But
also it means that if you were ever pissed anyway, somebody could just put you under the scanner at Tesco and find out where you lived. That's quite nice. It's quite nice for the drunk, isn't it? It's thoughtful. That's what it is.
You've done one thing that I... The only thing that I would like to be famous for now is the thing that you have done, which is to get on Who Do You Think You Are?
Oh.
Which I would love to do, but that's because I'm getting old and now I'm procreating, or I'm halfway to procreating. You know, you never know what might happen.
She might leave you. That's what you mean. That is true.
It's kind of. I've always liked that kind of family tree thing. But did you cry in yours? You did cry.
Yes, I cried. I cried. There were two stories, and there was one that was harsher than the other. But I thought the harshest one was first, so I cried at that one because I was feeling. No, I didn't force it. I was tearful. But then the second one came, both barrels. And I was determined that I wasn't going to cry at both because I didn't want to look like the woman that cries. So I really had to hold it all in, and it was quite hard. It was an amazing experience. I personally have never had any particular interest in my family tree, but my parents have tried. Yeah. And they sort of hit a brick wall every now and again and couldn't get any further. And they said to me, of all of the things that you ever do, if you ever get asked to do it, they actually sat me down and said, if you ever get asked to do Who Do You Think You Are, please do it. So it was only about... Because, do you know how it works? Like, they... they research you for a bit and then they come back to you and go,
no, there's nothing.
Or they come, and what they did with me, they came back and said, there's something, but we're not sure yet. Can we have an extension? You get an extension, extension. They keep beavering away to see if there's any. Because obviously they might be like, she wasn't married to him. Ooh, which is good for the family, but not really good telly. So they came back eventually and said that they had two good stories. But they don't. You don't know anything. You don't know. Like, all I got was cold weather training, which, as my husband said, that might be just for when you go back home to see your mum and dad.
Rude.
They did also suggest that I just don't wear pants. That was one of the things that... That's quite weird, isn't it? They said it was going to be so cold that it's better if you don't wear pants.
Wow, so because it will it freeze?
Well, because if you... If you're so cold... I can't remember what he said. Do you think it's this rubbish? Do you think...
I think
it was just a really pervy man. And no bra either. As long as I'm warm. It was a thing where if you... I think if you sweat, because you've got all of the cold weather clothes on.
If
you
sweat... Or if you're really turned on.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen tonight, is it? If your pants, if you're wearing, like, cotton pants and they get wet with sweat, the coldness would freeze you. Yeah. So they say either no pants or, like, lycra pants. Okay. So this is bullshit, isn't it? Saying it out loud has made me realise that I've been had... At the time, I was like, "Yeah, this makes total sense."
So you went. Was it Canada? Because like Billy Connolly got to go to India, it looked quite exciting. I think it's Billy Connolly, and some people get to go to, you know, the West Indies, and you got to go to Northern Canada or Greenland or somewhere. Was it?
Yeah, it was Canada. We went to, and it was -26 degrees when we were there. But the when the director and producer had done a recce 2 weeks before that, it was -45.
Right.
So, but there were loads of funny things that happened that they cut out. Like, I really think they should do, like, there were so many funny things that I wanted. You know the bit where they always have somebody on a train and you do tapping on a computer and then they'll go, Sarah Millican decided to find out exactly whereabouts in Canada her family were from. And then there's just me tapping with nothing on the screen. What I wanted was for them to have my head and then cut to my hands and for them to be like big hairy man hands. They weren't keen. And then the stuff about the fur trade, me and the expert made so many beaver jokes that they cut them all out. Oh, they could have done 45 minutes just on beaver jokes alone. Nothing, kept them all out. And there was a bit that my mum did. Like, my mum, because they ask your parents, they sort of sit you down with the parents and they say, what do you think? Like, how far have you got and what do you think? And they sat me down with my parents and my mum was not obsessed, but she was convinced that there was money. There was money further back. Convinced. And how, they said, what makes you think that there's money? And she said, because I think it was a great uncle had a piano. That was it. That was the whole basis. But the man himself also, as well as a piano, he had a drawer full of false teeth and a drawer full of glasses. So those things, they're quite odd. But then my mum used to get told off by her mum because at the age of about 7, she used to pretend to play the piano with the teeth in and the glasses on. Which I thought was hilarious, and they cut it out. And you're like, oh, there needs to be a funny version of this.
They do some carry-on news. Yeah. But they're very serious on there. My favourite bit about it was you, because one of your ancestors was sort of lost out in the snow, basically.
Yeah.
And he had to sort of crawl back with broken legs or something back to the thing.
Yeah.
And you were kind of going, I wonder if he'll survive. You kind of go... Yeah, you will, Sarah, because you exist.
Ah, you see, but this is what loads of arseholes said to me on Twitter. What they don't tell you is whether the person, before he went away, whether he had already had a kid. Because if he'd already had a kid and then went away to Canada, then
that marriage wasn't going very well, was it?
Well, no, because he went away to earn money for his family. Now you're being facetious. This is, and it's about family, and you're going to have one, so shut up. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't go away and work for 5 years. But they didn't. They never tell you if they had a baby before they left or when they came back. So I didn't know. Okay. And also, they cut that out and made me look like a tit. Like I was going, oh, I wonder if he survived. I'm not at all idiot. Just sometimes. But it was an amazing experience. It was tiring and. It took 3 continents before we could find some sort of kind of cold weather trousers that would fit me. I'm fatter than all of the UK and fatter than we had to go to Toronto. We had to go to a special shop. We tried three different shops. I don't think I'm like a size 18, which I don't think is unnecessary. But we ended up in three shops in Toronto. Eventually found some because I thought, I know they want me to cry in this video at some point, but they should just come into the fitting room. So we eventually found some that fit, and they were just like kind of like salopettes, you know, you wear for skiing. And the shop was called Hogtown. I just thought that was so mean. It's so mean. So it's quite distressing in all sorts of ways.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right, I'm going to ask you an emergency question to get out of the embarrassment of insulting your dead ancestors. This is a new emergency question. If you had to choose between these two, you had to do one of these two things, would you rather date a man who was a 6-foot-tall penis, but he has a face.
He sounds lovely. Yeah.
He can wear a suit that makes him look like he has shoulders, but that's false. He is just if he was naked, he'd just be a massive penis.
Right.
But he might have. It's just because when
you saying massive penis as if it's a bad thing.
But 6 foot is quite big.
That is true.
I'll give it a go.
I'm nothing if not a trier.
Or a man who, instead of the penis, he has a tiny man grafted onto him. There.
Do you make these up?
I do.
Are you quite all right?
Which of those two would you rather have? You can ask any specific questions you wish.
Okay, I'm going to ask a question. Can the 6 foot penis man? Has he got a penis as well?
He's a penis. So, I mean, his penis would function as a gigantic penis.
Why don't
penis.
You want me to have sex anymore?
Well, you can pleasure him. He would like to have a blowhole in the... He'd have a blowhole.
His feet testicles?
No, he's just a penis. On the small man, that would be...
That was a good question, wasn't it?
If his feet are testicles, he has to walk around on his testicles. Which would not be a pleasant thing for a 6 foot. No, that would be a very hefty weight on some.
I'm guessing they're probably not going to go like shopping anyway. If I'm honest, he's probably going to be somebody I'll keep indoors.
But the tiny man is just replacing him. He's not been surgically attached. He's grown there, but there are some testicles underneath him, as there would be.
Obviously,
he's just replaced the penis.
I feel like such an idiot for asking now. Extra question: the tiny man that is. A penis, but he's a tiny man. Can he stand with his arms down by his sides? Can he breathe in a condom, is what I'm asking.
I don't think he would be able to breathe in a condom. It would be difficult for him. If he went anywhere, you know, say don't wear that to the man he was on, you'd have to say don't wear pants to him, because then otherwise... That man is going to be then crushed up with some testicles in some pants. It's a very difficult life.
He's
for
grown
that man.
There. It's his bloody fault.
Well,
I think I'm going to choose the little man penis. Yeah, because I think there still is potential there.
Yeah. Well, it'd be like having two boyfriends as well, because it would be a different personality. It's not the same person.
Oh, they're both going to chat. I've changed my mind. What, penis in a suit, please.
It's yeah. a good question. Good answer.
Thanks.
You'll think you're the first one to go for that. Of everyone.
Good.
Are you ever... I get mistaken for quite a lot of celebrities and other people, and, like, just people keep coming up to say, oh, you live near me. And we go, hey, I see you in the park with your kids. We go, I don't think you do. Unless...
Because you look like...
I look like loads of people.
Loads of people.
But I look like Charlie Borman. I look like Chris Packham. I look very much...
don't look like Chris Packham
at
all.
I look like Brad Pitt, identical to Brad Pitt.
He is looking rough these days, isn't he?
People often see Brad Pitt on the cover of a magazine and think it's me. It happens all the time. He's copied my look.
And then they realise he's on a magazine, so it can't be you. Maybe the free paper.
Do you get mistaken for any celebrities, anyone other than yourself? Or you?
I wore red glasses once, and somebody thought I was Sally, what is she called?
Oh, the psychic woman.
Even though she's got a good, I'm assuming, a good 20 years on me, I think. And, you know, is a charlatan. That's just common knowledge, isn't it? Yeah, I haven't spoiled anybody's hopes and dreams.
We can get sued for that, though. They're very litigious. Well, she's got a very homophobic husband, hasn't she? But we're allowed to say that now because they were filmed.
Because that's fact.
He was filmed doing it. So, in fact, she is... what's her name? What's her last name? Sally...
I was going to say Sally Traffic. Sally Traffic. I listen to the radio too much.
Her husband worked there, and she's sacked her husband.
Oh, that must be awkward.
Yeah, I don't know if that. I don't know if that kind of goes into their marriage as well, or just professionally.
It must do.
Yeah.
I bet he doesn't do a tea anymore. But that's kind of her, and I don't know because I change my hair sometimes, so I don't know if there's anybody else that I really especially look like. No. Sorry.
That's all right. Just interested.
I mean, I'm not arrogant enough to say, you know, some big. Gorgeous person like you do.
Well, I'm just telling you what happens to me. I'm just saying, I've a lot of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two taxi drivers have said, I thought I was Brad Pitt.
Because they could only see you in a tiny bit of mirror.
The first one was a guy, and he said, I'm not gay, but you look like Brad Pitt.
Is it only gay people can recognise celebrities? Is that a rule? I didn't know that. I didn't know that. You learn everything, don't you?
And the other one was a female taxi driver. I was with my wife, she's a nice-looking lady, but I don't know if she really looks like Angelina Jolly. I mean, I wish...
Did you just call her Jolly as well?
Angelina Jolly.
She sounds like she's on CBBC now. Angelina Jolly.
Isn't she Dom Jolly's mum?
Maya, I had a friend, when I worked in W. H. Smith when I was 16, I had a friend who, I lived in South Shields and she lived in Jarrow, which is just further along, and she was once on a bus in Jarrow, age 17 maybe, and dressed in a W. H. Smith's uniform, and somebody asked her if she was Terry Hatcher. didn't say she looked a bit like Terry Hatcher, asked her if she was Terry Hatcher.
She might have been researching a role. It's like when Scarlett Johansson did that film in Glasgow and was walking around in vans. Have you seen this film, Under the Skin? And they filmed some of it for real, right, with her in vans, picking up guys, genuine guys, and then she was an alien, she was going to take them and eat them. But they filmed it like by her picking up guys, going, will you show me how to get to this place? And all these kind of Glasgow guys getting in, going, not recognising Scarlett Johansson, but just thinking some very tasty woman was asking them to get in a van and drive around.
And
them.
They still went...
Have you seen
that
film?
Okay.
It's amazing.
No, I haven't, no. It doesn't sound like my sort of thing, if I'm honest.
No, it's good.
It's got too many vans in it, it sounds like. You haven't sold it well.
Well, it's quite a good film. And you see Scarlett Johansson naked in it. Now you've perked up. You've perked up. He was excited just to see some proper women behind him earlier on. He was looking around going, I can't believe there's women there. So imagine if he saw her naked, well, even in her film, it would be an amazing thing.
I think we're learning a lot about you right now.
That's what all this is about, this whole thing. have you ever seen a ghost?
It's already a funny question.
Very serious question.
I think so.
You think you have?
Yeah.
I thought you would have done. Tell me all
why?
About
it. Why? Why did you say
something about
something about me you. Yeah. That you think what?
Yeah. I just think you're a bit stupid. You probably think you've seen a ghost. I bet you Rebecca Front hasn't seen the ghost. I'm going to ask Rebecca Front.
She's watching it's now,
gonna
so she's
very,
definitely going to say no, isn't she?
It's going to be a very different interview with Rebecca Front. I'm going to be very respectful to her because she deserves that.
She does. She's so good. And also, she's a nice lady. Well, I don't know if I am. Not with you, anyway, because you bring out the proper twat in me.
Tell us about the ghost you saw. What kind of ghost was it?
It was just an old lady walking into my sister's bedroom. That was all it was.
That's quite scary.
No, it didn't feel scary.
Was it your gran?
I don't think so.
No, okay.
I don't know now. But I don't know. I saw something, I didn't know what it was, and that's what I sort of put on it. So it might not have been.
I might be wrong. Don't be hurt.
No, the thing is, this is good, though. This is like neither of us are right and neither of us are wrong. I like that.
There's no way of knowing when the ghost is real.
If I get in touch with her again, I'll make sure she come and fucking haunt you.
Mark Gatiss, who's very clever, had seen it and saw a ghost.
Also, there's potential for me to be clever in the future. Oh, well, that's nice to know. Thanks.
Mentally ill as well, though. That's what.
Maybe ghosts only come to nice people who aren't assholes. Maybe that's. You're a poor kid.
So I'll get on to. Have you seen the website Dirty Brit Confessions?
No.
There's a
is
website.
Is it your website?
It isn't. I'm thinking of buying it. And I would put some
Dirty
up.
Did you say it?
It's called Dirty Britcom Confessions, I think, or something.
Oh, Britcom. I thought you said Dirty Prick.
No.
That's why I assumed it was.
Okay, no, that's it's where comedy fans go to put their sexual fantasies about comedians.
Okay.
Who are British, generally.
And you just put them up about yourself, do you?
I do. There's nothing about the Geordie Shore on there. If that one goes up, you'll know it was me. This is the ones about you, some of the ones about you. I don't like doing so much.
Why are you telling me these
things? I want to see if you would do them. And I'm hoping it's like it's all
blind. You're not going to do this to Rebecca Front either, are you?
I am, but with great shame and embarrassment. I thought people would have too much respect for Rebecca Front to even put Salacious. And her child is in the audience as well. I think he should maybe leave for that particular bit. I'm disgusted with what people have said about.
He might have left already.
I'm very upset about people saying about Rebecca Front. I don't mind them saying about you, but about Rebecca, that is wrong.
No respect.
I would like to eat Sarah Millican out. Who wouldn't?
It's a perfectly reasonable question.
That's quite nice.
Do you think so?
Would you be...
So I have quite low self-esteem, so every time somebody tells me they fancy me, I just think, weirdo. I'm glad they didn't send that to me, so at least they're putting it somewhere
they're
where I wouldn't
look. They're
putting
it somewhere else where people can see it, and you can go and see it if you want. I mean, we can stop this if it makes you uncomfortable.
Let's do one more.
Okay. There are loads more. This one's quite nice.
Are there loads? I think it's disgusting, but I'm thrilled.
I'm not even going to give you all of them. And I have to say, though, just before you get too excited, there are like some Vastufa, like Harry Hill's puppet and stuff like that. So it's not...
Okay, yeah, but it's
there's some
right.
for me as well. I'd love some highly awkward sex with David Mitchell, Sarah Millican, and or John Richardson. So I think the and or is you... David Mitchell's definitely in there, but and or Sarah Millican or John Richardson.
So we
the
could
awkward,
like
the awkwardness is a must. So they want to have sex.
Well,
with
it's David already going to be awkward.
Yeah, but you and David Mitchell. So if it's you, it'll be you and David Mitchell and this person. We don't
three.
Have to give them a boy.
Oh, what a faff!
And
you see, if there's three, you've got. If there's two other people, you've got to shave everywhere.
Yeah.
But if there's just one other person, you usually know what angle they're coming at you from. And you can just shave that root. And John Richardson is a bit of a stickler as well.
He won't be there, though.
He won't be there. That's better, then. Okay.
John Richardson will not be there. So we're taking it. But you and David Mitchell, you have to have awkward sex. I think it probably will be. Do you know David Mitchell very well?
I don't know him that well.
No, it'd be awkward.
I know him quite well. He's a very lovely man.
And some strange comedy fan.
Yeah, I'm going to say no on that one, Richard, if that's all right.
Okay.
But it's nice to know somebody's thought of it.
I want Sarah Millick. This is someone else.
Okay, is this the last one?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Doesn't have to be. I went just check it's the best one.
You know what's weird is you've written it into your notebook. So that, like, you could have just printed this off the internet and then, like, binned it afterwards. But you've written it. How many empty pages are in that notebook that you're going to be with his notebook for so much longer that it's still there? Read it.
I want Sarah Millican to pull my hair and smother me with her boobs before she throws me back and rides me into oblivion. Afterwards, we have cake and watch soaps.
You know what? That's not... Can I think about that one?
Yeah.
An oblivion, that is at Lightwater Valley, isn't it? It's one of the rides at Lightwater Valley.
Okay, okay, yeah.
But that's... Somebody's thought that through. I like that they've thought about what to do afterwards as well. It's quite sweet. I think that's a gentleman.
It is. Or a gentlewoman. We don't know. We don't know if they're male or female. So that is... So, but, I mean, these are quite... I mean, they are obviously horribly weird, but they are a positive thing in some ways. They're nice in a way. What I find interesting about often when I have female guests on this show, people will tweet me and let me know what they think about that female comedian, which they won't do, almost exclusively, it never happens with men. But with women, people will feel the need to tell me that I'm wrong to have them on the show, which is kind of odd, didn't happen very much, but a couple of people went, oh, no.
Yeah, they do that.
Which is kind of an odd reaction.
Well, it's kind of nice to know that those other people are out there. The people who want to have sex with me and David Mitchell.
Yeah.
And then eat cake and watch soaps. But it sort of balances out, doesn't it?
I think you get a disproportionate amount of weird and unpleasant stuff on the internet. Say someone like, you know, you and I, the only difference is you're a highly successful comedian. But we both do a fair amount of sort of smutty and rude stuff. I think some Connie fans like to look at that and go, that's just rude stuff. I like the sophisticated comedy of Stuart.
So what you're saying? somebody should.
Yeah.
I wonder if. So what you're saying is, I do smut and you do smut, and you get more people telling you. I get more people telling me that I shouldn't do it.
That they don't. You know, but they. There's a sort. I think it's a sexism within it, but it's weird that you get. I mean, I think a lot of popular. The more popular you are as anything, you get like people saying, "Oh, I don't like that," because it's like, why has that person gone? But I get vociferous. I get into vociferous arguments with people online about a few comedians that I like. And that they think I should.
Are you
like.
Defending me or are you on their side?
I am defending you. Well, you know, because if on this, I've had 50, you're the 51st person I've had on this series. So, like, out of those 50 comedians, most of them are comedians, chances are, you know, not everyone's going to like every single one that comes on. You don't go, I'm now going to tweet the person who runs that to tell them.
That's what Twitter is. It's for people who. It's like. You know, you and I might have a conversation in a pub about a telly programme we didn't like.
Yeah.
But then neither of us would go on Twitter, find who wrote it or who starred in it, and then tell that person. It's a real specific kind of person who wants to tell the person. I don't mind that some people don't find me funny. That's fine. There's comics I don't find funny. I don't think they're not funny, but they're just... People are too afraid. Chris Addison said this, and I think it's true. People are too afraid to say, not my cup of tea. They have to say that somebody's shit. When they're clearly not.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's true, but there's a snobbishness, and that's why I don't... Because I think, you know, you are a really great comedian, so that's what really annoys me about it. I guess people see things... Sometimes they'll see one thing you've done, or they'll see, you know, if they've seen you on TV and they've seen one episode of something they didn't like, then they go, oh, I don't like that. But, you know, they're going, she's not a good comedian. Like, you know, no, whatever you say, she is a very good comedian.
Don't you think that's more with comedy than it is with, music or anything like that? Because... When an audience laugh at you, it comes from the gut, like they don't have any control over that.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting in an audience where everybody's laughing but you, you feel a bit like, well, why aren't you making me laugh? Like but I would never then tell them. It's the same as like if somebody goes to say, people never get as sort of vehement and angry about a band that they hate as they do about a comedian that they hate, because your job is to make them laugh and you're not doing your job as far as they're concerned. But I think women in general on Twitter get more... sort of hassle than men do.
Yeah,
and it's bad that I'm just thinking, yeah, what you're saying is true. It's bad that I've accepted it. But it is a fact.
Yeah.
Like, I did a tiny thing for the Stand Up To Cancer that was on Channel 4 on Friday. A tiny little video thing that I did with Dr. Christian, getting women to check for lumps, check their breasts, and I still got abuse for that. And you think, well, that means that it's all bullshit then. Because if you do something that is so not offensive... That I wasn't even trying to be funny on it. It was trying to get a message across in a light-hearted way, and people are still offended at that. Then fuck them.
Well, some people. You know. Some people are very supportive of cancer and want cancer to kill people. So it's very annoying.
Oh, so that's what it is. Because I'm against cancer.
It's kind of confusing for those kind of people because, you know, it's about boobs, so they probably like those, but then it's a kind of weird thing.
I think, basically, people want to... Some people are... Twitter is great. I love Twitter. I love the interaction. I love having fun. I love sort of dicking about on there and it being daft and stuff and reading about what other people are up to. But everywhere has arseholes. When I used to work in an office, there was always at least one twat. And it just means that the workplace is a lot bigger. And there's just twats on there as well. Yeah, but they never... I never interact. Because no. That's what they want. So I don't bother...
Yeah, it's interesting how people deal with it. I mean, your TV show, me and my wife, when I'm on tour, my wife will be tweeting, you know, texting me and telling me what's on and we watch it together. I think it's really excellent populist television. Thanks. It's really, really funny. But your stand-up is also, like, you know, there's so much more to it. I think there's a, like, kind of comedy fan snobbishness to it that they kind of think, oh, no, I'm not gonna like that because that's about this. But they don't, I think... Some comedy fans don't understand that it's kind of harder in a way to do subjects that everyone does and find your own way through.
Mm. You know, I do what I do and it makes me laugh and that's all I've got to go on to start with, and then I try it in front of an audience and then if they give me enough positive feedback it goes further on tour or whatever. And I know that some people don't find me funny and it's totally fine. The problem I have is when people decide to tell you.
Yeah.
Or when they just... It's kind of... For women I think it's slightly different because you often get your physical appearance criticised as well, which is completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
Like, I bet you don't get a message from somebody saying... Oh, that's a really rubbish shirt you've got on.
Yeah, I do.
Do you? I don't think men get it as much as women
not
do.
Not the same way. No, my wife wrote a very funny article. That I don't know what she's going to do with it, but about turning the whole thing around about sort of having, you know, people on Twitter having go at David Attenborough and how they're going to cut his cock off and stuff it down his throat and stuff. Because when you actually turn it around and do, you know, say the things that women have to say to men, go, oh, what are you doing on TV? You're too old, David Attenborough. You know. it's kind of, you don't see it and it suddenly go, oh wow, you know, you do see the sort of difference. I mean, I do get people, you know, people will track you down to tell you they don't like you. But it makes me laugh because I kind of think, well, why would you waste your time doing that? What does it say about you that you wasted your time to, if I don't like something, I'm not going to then go and find the person
I started a rule where I just don't see anything negative on Twitter. So if I go and see a film and I don't like the film, I don't mention it because I once... So a film, I can't remember what the film was now, but I said, well, that was a load of shit, like, because I'm really eloquent on Twitter. And somebody who was in it replied and said, like, in a funny way, but like, how very dare you? And I felt awful.
Yeah.
So I had a rule now. I don't say I'm going to the cinema, I say I've been. So if I've enjoyed a film, I'll say, oh, I thought that was really good. But I never say anything because there's just so much negativity on there. Why would you add to it?
Yeah, I thought I saw you in the audience of my show in Edinburgh this year, and then you didn't tweet about it afterwards, so it's
you were mistaken, I didn't go.
Must have been Sally Morgan.
Predicting your future. It's not what she does, it's not what she does. Contacting the dead of your success. No, it doesn't work, does it? Move on.
It's sort of interesting. I think it's a woman being successful as well, is that kind of person who gets bothered about that. It's such a weird thing for me to think that guys who wouldn't... Anyone who's confident in themselves, any man who's confident in themselves, wouldn't see it as a challenge if women are...
No,
good.
It's, you know, it's just like, so much
you can
to
only
them,
get
yeah.
You can only be sexist if you think, oh, fuck, I am really shit. And so, therefore, allowing everyone to have an equal go at stuff is going to really show me up on this, so I'm going to have to keep it as it is.
Yeah, I think it's still... They attack... And then I'm still where I am. I've still got what I consider the best job in the world, and I love my job. Yeah. And I still—they don't buy a ticket to my show because they're not that, you know, they're not that sort of aggressive in their hatred of me. That would be brilliant if they were like £25 and going. So when I walk out in front of an audience, they're always lovely, and the TV audiences are lovely, and you know, so it's.
But I did that once. I talk about in this year's show. When I was 16, me and my friends paid to go and see Ted Rogers from 3-2-1. Because we hated him. And then we sat in the front row and I mean, it was awful. It was disgraceful, terrible behaviour. So I deserve
it's
any
awful.
Bad thing I get. It was awful.
That's really awful.
We heckled everyone. But then I go, you know, we were laughing at Ted Rogers, pretending we were the kind of idiot. We were kind of screaming with the ironic excitement, pretending we were the kind of idiots who were fans of Ted Rogers, rather the kind of idiots who weren't his fans but would still pay to go and see him. See a show and just mildly spoil it.
Did you get thrown out?
No, we got like the. There was a very. It's kind of a pivotal moment in this year's show because this year's show is a little bit about looking backwards and looking forwards and where I am in my career, and I'm actually almost the same age as Ted Rogers was then, and so you sort of realise. But there was hardly anyone in the audience, and like, but people were coming up the next day thinking we were part of the show, and you know, like they would do because you think, oh, they planted those people to be idiots in the audience. It was it was terrible.
Because even if you don't like Ted Rogers, he's just doing his job to people who paid, who like him, and you've spoilt their night, and you're such a cunt.
But at least I'm not a sexist cunt. I did it.
Oh, so you did it to a bloke, so that's all right.
I did it to an old
Is that like an old school version of Twitter? Is that what you did?
As I say in the show, you know, we didn't have the internet, so we couldn't just tweet him. We had to go along in person. It was harder to be a prick in the 1980s.
But you still managed.
I still did. It was awful. It's a terrible, terrible way to behave, but it doesn't... But then like, I was in... I was in Wakefield last week. I'm on tour at the moment, Lord of the Dance said, so you do come along. And I don't mind if you pay and ruin the show, actually, as long as I
you
get
the money.
You
should all totally do that.
But then right at the beginning. So I did my first joke, and then as I started my second joke, someone shouted, bollocks! And I went, oh, because it was about dating. And I said, is that the idea of me talking to a woman? Or whatever. He said, no, I'm quoting the thing on the internet where the heckler shouted bollocks during all your jokes. And you're going to go, well, did you watch that video and think, oh, I want to emulate that guy who gets...
Imagine not even being original, not even thinking up your own word.
But it was like he'd come along in order to quote that thing back at me that most of the audience would have no idea what he's talking about. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a tough gig. But then luckily he did shut up. I deserved it.
Well, was it Ted Rogers?
It might have been. It was Dusty Bin. Ted Rogers is dead, but Dusty Bin still has some battery life left in him. In the 1980s, there was a TV star who was a dustbin.
Have you seen it lately? It's really complicated. It's on Challenge.
Is it?
Yeah,
3, 2,
and it's
1.
Really complicated.
It was pretty complicated in the 1980s. It was a very...
I was younger than you, though, so...
It was like prime-time entertainment. It was insane. And it was always like... The clue was so cryptic.
So cryptic.
Brilliant.
Make them like they do now.
They had all the variety stars on there. It's amazing, amazing.
I bet he still... Just before he died, I bet he still cried about that night.
Where
a bunch of twats in the front row decided to ruin his night.
We did it to everyone. There was like... It was a variety night. And there
that's all right. Equal opportunities.
Person.
Who else was on?
There was like a really old magician who was...
Oh, God, an old man!
70 or 80 years old. And he was already like...
Oh,
unable
Richard.
To do his tricks, and then we just ruined everything. So I imagine he did go
you
home
know
and die.
What's interesting is that while you were a prick then, the fact that you're telling people about it now means that you're still slightly proud of it.
It shows that I'm saying that that's a bad thing. It was an awful thing to
do. If you were properly ashamed, nobody would ever know about it.
No, I'm very ashamed of it, but it is... It's
not ashamed enough for me.
It was quite funny. It's quite funny that it's gone full circle and I'm now the same age as Ted Rogers and struggling to get an audience in seaside towns.
And you haven't even got a bin.
I haven't got a bin. That's it. I had Stuart Lee. If I'd had a dustbin, I'd be on ITV now. Not as good as a dustbin. So there's a pudding section on your website of puddings you've eaten.
Well, it's good for, you know, I thought, you know, I'm not always on tour.
Yeah.
It's not always things changing on the website, so let's have something that changes a lot, so put puddings up there. It can only be ones I've eaten, not ones I've just had a spoon of, like of somebody else's. It has to be one I've eaten the whole thing of. And there's also a bit where people can upload pictures of their own puddings,
right.
Which sounds vaguely filthy now that I've said it like that. I just thought it would be daft. I just think it's nice if a website isn't just basically like a catalogue of things that you can buy. It's nice if there's stuff in there that isn't, you know, it's just daft as well.
Yeah. Can we buy the puddings from the website? You could add that. Could be
no,
like
because
Amazon
I've shut them all out.
Okay.
I'm sorry, it's just how it works. That's eaten.
Have you ever considered selling your feces to fans? Because I would pay
maybe
for that.
There might be men in that website that
yeah,
might
definitely
want.
Would be.
No, I haven't considered it. To be honest, sometimes I have quite bad IBS, so
yeah.
I don't know how you'd transport it. I don't know. Maybe in a Ziploc bag. You might freeze it first. That might be better.
Oh, yeah,
put a bit of gelatin in it. Just, I don't know. I've not thought of it. I'm not prepared an answer for this. Sorry if this is a bit freewheeling. Sorry. I've never been asked that before, weirdly. It's nice to be asked a question you've never been asked before.
That's true.
Would you consider selling your feces to fans?
At the moment, your DVDs are selling all right.
But yeah.
If it goes to a point where that's changed.
But I could give a free one away with the DVDs.
A spoonful, you could like make one last.
Yeah, just, could... yeah. That's, yeah, just a spoonful.
Yeah, could be in vapor form when you open the DVD and then the shit comes out in vapor form and gives you dysentery or something. That could
vapor
be
vapor form.
Could vaporize it.
I don't, when people watch my DVD, I don't want them to be thinking of shit. I'd like them to be having a nice time.
Okay. Whatever. So, here, then, this is some, I've got some questions that I think you'll like. Where do you get your crazy ideas from?
What, like coming on this?
What do you prefer, doing comedy or something else?
These are good. Well, you did used to be a journalist, by any chance. These are good questions.
What is it? What do you think? Is it comedy or do you like doing other things other than comedy? If you had to choose between doing comedy and something else, which would you
anything
do?
Else?
Yeah. Well, something else. Not anything else. Something else.
Something. What's the something?
To the question.
What's the something?
Something else.
Be specific.
Can't think of anything. I'm just trying to ask the questions that... Do you ever get that? Do you prefer doing comedy or being on TV? What would you prefer, stand-up or doing on TV?
Oh,
and you go,
well,
I like both of them, just at different times. They're like equally. That's why I do both of them.
Yeah, because if I just liked one, I'd probably just do the one.
Yeah.
I don't like, why aren't women funny?
Yeah.
That's harsh.
Yeah, why aren't
when you're
they
sitting
then?
There trying to sell like a DVD or some tour tickets. And then they put at the bottom, Sarah Millican's tour is available. Tickets are available on this website. And you're like, you've just gone, women aren't funny. But if you want to see one, try. Thanks.
It is great. Well, this is nothing, that's not even, I read a few interviews in preparation for this. Can I prepare? For this one, I'm very fresh.
Wow,
but there was a guy in the Guardian who said, I'm getting on with you. And then he goes, and then I asked Sarah where she lived, and suddenly the barriers went up, and she wouldn't. I live in central Manchester. Yeah, but where exactly? I'm not going to tell you. Yeah, because I'm not going to fucking tell you where I live.
Yeah, thank you. I thought it was a bit odd
weirdo.
That he wanted my postal address. I don't know, maybe he wanted to send me some feces.
Yeah,
it
might be.
And I said no. I didn't like, and that was all very jovial. Yeah. And then I'm paranoid.
But then he wrote it up like you were weird,
yeah,
rather than he was weird.
It's journalists.
I love it when journalists do that, and you can just read it. And go, no, you're really
weird. And everybody, all of my friends who read that went, did he really want your address? Yeah. He really wanted me. It was very odd. It was fine. It's fine disconcerting because it seems like it's going really well and then you read it up and you go, oh, that's not what happened.
No.
But that's how it works.
They're trying, again, it's sort of like they're trying this angle so they're going, oh, you're very... I think it's when you're a comedian, so like that's why they go, oh, the tears, the clown, he was so depressed in real life because he wasn't all the time joking and laughing the whole time.
I think they want an angle.
Yeah.
But I don't like cheese. Why isn't that an angle? Mark Watson doesn't like cheese. Andrew Lawrence. There's loads of comics. Yeah. That should be an angle. But they never do that, even though I suggested sometimes. But I understand in a way. I don't agree with it, but I understand that to just say, she seemed quite nice. And she seems to get on well with her family, and she likes her job, so that's nice, and she works quite hard. That's boring. That's a really boring interview, so they have to find some kind of angle, and I'm dull as fuck. So they have to make up an angle, because they can't find one. There's nothing to tell. It's really... I'm just nice, and I like my job. It's really boring.
You must be quite... I mean, I think to do well, you've got to work, but you work very hard.
Yeah.
And you've got ambition, so they could mm-hmm. say... That if that's a negative or a positive thing, I don't know. I think it's a positive thing personally, but I suppose.
I think it's a positive
but
thing.
But that's how you've got to where you've got to, really, is by just you work very,
yeah.
very hard.
I don't think there's a magic formula.
No.
I think people think it's like an overnight thing, and you think, well, I really liked being on stage. I liked writing jokes, so I just did it loads. in as much as I possibly could. And then that got us here on this stage with you.
Yeah.
Do you think it's on the downturn already? I thought it was going
definitely on the well, I'm going to talk about this with Rebecca Front, who's won awards, done loads of... She's won loads of awards for loads and loads of stuff.
Yeah.
Apart from... She's worked with me on many projects. And it's almost like you can put the two... The things she's won awards for and the things that have never won awards. Like a Venn diagram that never really meets.
But you're sort of the personification of never really winning awards.
Yes, it is.
And I really love it when you win an award because I know it secretly pisses you off.
It does.
Because you've got that loser status that you can't really have anymore.
But I only win it for internet stuff and that doesn't really...
It's not really real, is it? No.
Really,
because at some point somebody will accidentally click something and it'll all disappear anyway. So. Hope you've printed off your podcasts.
Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
Like on a man?
No, like a...
No, like a Bigfoot.
Like a
Bigfoot. Like a weirdly Bigfoot, and the other one's just sort of
like
seven
a Sasquatch.
I've never seen this, but I like saying the word. Don't you like saying Sasquatch?
Yeah, I do. You might have seen one when you were in Canada looking for your great-great-granddad.
I didn't even say a moose. I was promised a moose. Which sounds like I'm just saying Geordie for mouse. I was promised a moose. We went in a helicopter at one point, and they said where we have to get to is like a 45-minute helicopter ride. Okay, so got in the helicopter, and I looked at it, and it was beautiful scenery of snow and of trees. It was beautiful, but it was very samey. And after 6 or 7 minutes, I fell asleep. And they were trying to film me, being like, oh, wow. And I was like, you're going to have to do it on the way back. Because I was like that. Because I'd scanned looking for a moose, and there wasn't one. So I just fell asleep. Because it was just, you know, it's the hum of the wow, 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 wow. Around
well,
that lake, and I was
I
all warm and in me pants, me lycra pants.
I don't think I've ever been in a helicopter.
Have you not?
No, I think so.
Oh, you should definitely do it.
I'm not successful like you. You get to
I didn't own
everywhere.
The helicopter, Richard.
Fly around everywhere in
I haven't bought a helicopter. Have you not ever been in one?
I don't think I've ever been in a helicopter. That's a terrible thing.
Give us a cheer if you've been in a helicopter.
Woo! Normal.
I just wanted to prove that you don't have to own one to be allowed
in
one.
I've got a very rich audience of business people in there.
The helipad upstairs is chock-a-block tonight.
Can I just do one more from the British Britcom Confessions?
Okay.
Because this one is... just check it's the one I'm thinking it is. Oh, no, sorry, that's one for Rebecca. Thank God I didn't start reading now. This is kind of weird just because it's...
They're all weird, Richard.
Well,
carry on.
Starts with, Sarah Millican's comedy is so sweet.
Yeah.
In comparison to Frankie Boyle's offensive comedy... This is why they should have a raging sex. Where Sarah completely dominates Frankie, who begs for mercy when she brings in a load of cake topped with whipped cream. His ginger beard would quiver.
I don't think a beard can quiver. What's interesting about that is that they have concocted a sexual fantasy that does not involve them. That's quite sad, isn't it? Are they, like, at least watching?
I don't think they are. I think they're just imagining it. And also just that they lose kind of control. It's, like, controlled. And then they get so excited often. Like, they make a sentence. The last sentence is something that doesn't really make sense. They're so... His ginger beard would quiver.
But that's... I mean, my beard might quiver. That's quite interesting that they've typed all that, knowing fine well that the way the internet works is that you can delete, you can read it through a couple of times and delete it, but he's obviously just been so excited that he's obviously like ejaculated as he pressed enter. We've all done it, kids. Thanks for that.
Can I have some of your money?
I think tonight I'm getting some of yours.
I'm going to give you £250 for coming on this.
Do you need it back for your child?
I've had a pretty disastrous year, really, but I'm just... What I've decided... I've
it's
decided,
good that you don't mention it very often, though, isn't it?
I think, I sort of see money as not a real thing. I think if you start seeing money as too real, it's a...
Hold on, what?
It's not real, is it?
It's not real.
It's not real.
So
it's
when you buy, like, a pair of trousers, do you just give them A?
No, I give them money, but it's like, it's an abstract thing. So it's not, I think if you...
Money
become,
is not an abstract thing.
It's not real, though. It's not, we use it, and because we all agree that it exists, mm-hmm. But if someone went, no, I'm not going to take that money for this pair of trousers. The whole thing falls apart. So it's an abstract
concept.
Or
they just walk out without trousers.
Yeah. Or you just walk out with the trousers and don't give them any money.
And then go to prison.
The other day I was in a news agents in Manchester, mm-hmm. and the man at the till was taking... I wanted to buy a Cornetto. And the man at the till was taking a long time.
In October?
Yeah. For breakfast. It was a breakfast Cornetto.
You are a lonely man on
and,
tour.
And it was a pound. And so I just left and put a pound on the thing. And he was chatting. He said, "Hey, come back. Hey, sir, come back, come back." I said, "I put a pound there."
That's not how it works, though. You have to. You'd have to ring it in the till.
I know, but fuck him.
And how
he was making me wait. I could give the name of the news agent.
Let's not, because I think you're still in the wrong.
I am. I'm definitely in the wrong. But see, I could have just walked out with the Cornetto. He wouldn't have been able to do anything.
So
money is an abstract.
It's not.
We
it's
all
not,
believe
it's
it
not.
Exists. It doesn't matter. Don't get het up on it. It's
I'm
not
getting
real.
Het up on it so much as worried slightly that you are being abusive to people in Manchester because they are making you pay
I
for something you
pound.
Want. Yeah, but you walked out. He didn't
pound.
Know that you had to.
You
could have had a Magnum. That's more than a pound.
Well, I was being honest.
You weren't. You were being an impatient arse. And but you
they
see,
should be a man manning the thing.
Well, maybe they don't expect people to buy Cornettos in the morning
well,
in October.
They shouldn't be stocking them then, should they? They should be at the
I
back.
I bet they don't
they
now.
Should wheel them out. They should wheel out the Cornettos at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
What time
or
in
when
the morning?
It's sunny enough.
I'm fascinated by your
it
diet on
about,
tour.
It was about 10:30.
Oh, that's all right. You'd
had
proper breakfast.
Yeah.
You'd had breakfast number one.
Yeah.
No, and this was breakfast
do.
Number two.
Well,
we all do
Cornetto
it.
Keep me going.
Like 11, like a pre-11s. What kind of Cornetto did you have?
It was strawberry. It said new. It said new, and it was slightly different than the ones I'd had in recently.
It was
so
new.
It was a new style of Cornetto. That's what was.
What
that's
was
what
new about it?
Me. It was just slightly the white stuff on the top. I don't know if it's meant to be ice cream.
I think it's supposed to be, but I don't know.
I don't know what it is. It's an ice cream. It was slightly fluffier than usual.
It's nice that you value it so much, but not enough to pay for it.
Yeah, I did pay for it.
Yeah, you threw a pound at a man, and then you
take
walked out cockily.
Well, because his shop was not. There was a sign saying use the other till. There was no one at the other till. What was
so
I meant to do?
So just do a little cough, or just say, "Excuse me, can I pay for this?"
He was talking to a man about cigarettes for ages.
So walk out, and leave the
Cornetto. No, we'll leave the Cornetto on the counter so it melts.
I didn't say that. You're putting words in my mouth.
I didn't have time to go back. I didn't have time to go all the way back to the Cornetto.
You didn't have
fridge.
Time. You didn't. What were you doing? What were you doing that day? That you didn't
going.
Have time to go to another shop. What were you doing
I was
that day? You
driving
were
driving to Newcastle.
You were driving to Newcastle, but yeah. You still had time. You weren't that busy. You still had time to buy
a
Cornetto.
I worked out. I had time to buy a Cornetto, even accounting for a 20-second wait at the till. I had the correct change. I knew it was going to be a quick transaction. But I knew if that spread into 45 seconds to 50 seconds, that would throw off my whole day of driving to Newcastle.
We've talked about this for about 6 minutes. But you didn't have time to wait for another 15 seconds to be civil to a man you're trying to have a transaction with.
Can't she shout at me as if I was some kind of idiot?
I'm glad, because you are.
He got his pound for his Cornetto. I bet it cost him like 25p for that Cornetto. 75p.
I bet he's got a podcast that he's talking to somebody about. There was this right twat came in the other day. I think he was on the telly, but a really long time ago.
that was my slight worry as I walked away that he might recognise who I was and tweet. Richard Herring just came, but I didn't need to, did I? Because I've just told the whole story myself. Richard Herring came in and refused to wait to
were
buy a
Cornetto. Were
you
doing that just so that somebody would mention you on the internet? So sad,
Could
isn't
be.
It sad?
Good, because I don't get many sexual fantasies on Britcom Confessions anymore.
Have now. You bookmarked it? You have, haven't you? You check
I
regularly.
I do search for my name. I do have a Google alert.
Oh, no, that madness is there. Why?
I like to know
why
what
would you do
saying.
That? No, it's horrible.
It's
I
all
sort
nice.
Of think
everyone loves me. It's all nice.
Oh, you haven't seen my stuff then. I sort of think you shouldn't read all the stuff that says people think you're brilliant either. Because
no.
I think because it's the same as reviews. You can't just pick the ones that are nice. You've got to read all of it or none of it. And I still think you should go on the audience in the room laughing and having a nice time. I don't think being told by like however many people that you're brilliant is healthy either. No. So, I mean, it obviously doesn't really affect you, but...
No. I'm a very balanced, normal...
You're always, I'm really nice to everybody else, and I'm always horrible to you, and it's so much fun.
I feel, you know, and you're never quite sure. Well, the last one in Edinburgh, I think people really came out thinking, oh, my God, they really have gone too far. They hate each other.
But you were very predatory early on.
You're a very attractive woman. No, I'm
shut up.
I'm only a human being. A man. I'm made of flesh and bone.
Yeah, and you do look a bit like Brad Pitt.
I do look a bit like Brad Pitt.
With my eyes shut and my ears blocked.
One of these days...
I mean,
now I've had a kid, though, you must be thinking that's it, you know. Because
you haven't had a kid
before
yet.
Well, now I've got one in the pipeline.
In the pipeline. Is your wife a pipeline?
Before, you're thinking, oh, it's all right, he's, you know, he's married, but he could still get divorced. We could still be together. Now the child.
Oh, I've never thought that, Lord.
Now the child.
Not even when you were single and shagging about. You're welcome.
I don't think that was me. Doesn't sound like me.
It's just what I heard.
It was what I, you know. Wish I could go back to those days.
No, you don't.
No, I really don't. I was talking about this to Brendan Burns, but it's like you don't even, you know, I don't think you would even be capable. I sort of want women to still find me attractive, but I don't want to do anything about it, but they don't find me attractive. So it was nice when people found you attractive.
Yeah.
But, you know, just want to go, I find you attractive, and they go, well, sorry, look at the old wedding ring and the baby.
Really, because it doesn't bother me in the slightest. No. It doesn't, I don't know if people find me attractive, I don't care if people find, I'd like to know if people find me funny, and I like to know if people think, I think the worst thing anybody could ever say to me is that I'm lazy, that I always find that more offensive than if somebody said I wasn't funny, because I think you can argue if I'm funny or not, because that's a taste thing, but you can't argue whether I work hard or not, because I think I do, and I think it's a fact. But I've never had... If my husband finds me attractive, which I'm assured he does, I don't care if anybody else does or not, because it doesn't matter. But I think you've got a bigger ego than
I am. I'm just very shallow.
You are?
I'm just incredibly shallow. It's hard to explain, because I'm absolutely delighted to be out of that.
Is it because you're short?
No, I don't think that's ever. I never even really.
I just thought it was a little band syndrome.
I never even really realised I was short. I was like.
Yeah, you did. When you're wearing children's clothes. You must know then, surely.
Just like the Styles. It's hard. I just, you know, it's a weird thing when you realise that. As you get older, and you're still in your 30s, just.
It's okay, I'm aware of my age. That wasn't a surprise that you sprung on me. I know how old I am.
But you are, I think you become aware of your physical decline is not... When you're it's irreversible. And so your psychological and physical design decline is irreversible. And even when I did Oh Fuck, I'm 40, it's like, oh, you know, I'm 40, yeah. But I was still...
I don't think I've declined, because I don't judge myself on what I look like.
No,
so I think I'm getting better because I'm more experienced and more.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah. It's not about how you look. It's not about how you look. It's about. It's like that thing.
You judge people on their physical appearance more than anything else. That's what you're saying.
No, I'm sorry, because I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about being the physical appearance. It's how you feel. And like as you get older, when I was turning 40, I was kind of out of control and you know, and having a midlife crisis and you know, enjoying that in inverted commas.
Mm.
I was enjoying it out of inverted commas as well. I didn't mind if we're having sex and the woman was going, "We're having sex," or if we're going, "We are having sex." Either way, I was happy. But you know, and now as an older man, it's that thing about. Lots of people said, like, as a young man, your libido is like being chained to an idiot, and then you get older and the libido disappears a bit. But in a way, as good as that is, you sort of go, oh, it's a shame that that's disappeared and will never come back again in the same way. Do you understand?
Are we
what
still
I mean?
Talking about me?
No, this is me.
No, I didn't think
me.
We were.
This is me.
I don't
but
really
it's about
know.
Getting a bit older, and so, like, the physical decline and the worrying about realising death is coming round the corner.
This has gotten cheery, hasn't it?
We're coming to the end of the podcast.
And the end of our lives.
Yes.
And I'm quite positive, and I don't think you are.
Thinking of a baby, and then you suddenly go, oh, God, you know, what if I die? You know, then that's...
Well, you will at some point.
Yeah, but, you know, what if I die, like, in 2 years' time? Then, or what if I die before the baby's
get
born?
Get a new dad?
Yeah, well, that's it. That's what I'm, yeah, luckily, my wife is young and attractive. The new dad will be a very nice guy, so that'll be okay. But it's like, that's a terrifying thing.
So do you think... But you've always thought about mortality, because you've had shows about it. So is that made it worse? I'm now interviewing him, by the way. Yeah. does that make it worse now that you have a baby on the way?
Yeah, much, much worse. Because, you have to keep them alive. That's one responsibility.
Yeah, but you've done well with the cats. Yeah. Remember that, Flower?
But that's kind of, you know... As you're driving around on tour, you're thinking, anything could happen. And then just the idea of never living to see your own child's little face.
Wow, and when is the baby due? How long do we have to keep you alive?
I've got to stay alive for 4.5 months.
And then you just want to see the face, and after that you're all right. So if it comes out like feet first, it might be a few more minutes.
But what if it comes out feet first and then I die and I've seen the feet?
But you're in a hospital, so they'll probably save you.
They could get me back long enough to go, there's the face! There's his face!
Yeah, just open your eyes just enough so you can see its little face. I think you're going to be all right. Okay. I think you might need to cheer yourself the fuck up, like. Because I think your kid might just walk out, even at a tiny age.
It's just, you know, it's a weird...
So does this make you eat more healthily and be more active?
Yeah, well, I mean, I did a run,
didn't you do a run?
I've been more healthy this year anyway, but I knew we were trying to have a baby and that's part of it. So you're
trying to prolong your life?
A little boy, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think it would be nice.
I mean, ideally, I'd like to... Because the kids, when they're young, they're quite cute, and then they get teenagers, and they come a bit annoying.
So you're going to die then?
That would be the best time to die, wouldn't it? Just on the...
Probably.
Or just
like
go into
13,
a coma.
14, and then 13 come out.
Come out.
When they're like 25.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
just avoid
that.
That's what you've
thought it through. Yeah.
Okay. I think it's you might need an appointment with somebody more skilled than I. This is not what I thought it was going to be. I'm sorry, everybody. Have we got... Is Sally Morgan in? Can she come and have a word?
We've revealed a lot about me in this chat and nothing about you. That's the annoying thing about it. But it's been lovely to see you again. I think... I told you it'd be more grown up, this podcast, than the one in Edinburgh.
Well, I mean, it wasn't so far. It's only when you said, it's lovely to see you. That's the only bit that's been grown up so far.
That's all you're getting.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Did I win this one, or did Richard win this one? Oh, thanks.
No.
You lot are lovely, and you're his fans. It's amazing. You'd think you'd side with him, but no.
And you were rude to them right at the start. I thought, that's good. That'll get them.
I was rude to them.
You said they were all just ordinary people at the beginning, and I thought
I said they didn't have helicopters.
Yeah, you said that.
I didn't think that was an insult. I'm really sorry. If anyone has a helicopter, I'm really sorry.
Does anyone have a helicopter?
Oh, so you were offended at me being right.
You know someone who's got a helicopter, don't you? Yeah, you do.
Do you?
Yeah.
You know somebody who's got a helicopter. Yeah. You know that's not the same as owning a helicopter, don't you?
Well, you know Noel Edmonds. He's got a...
I don't know him. Met him twice. Yeah. That's not...
Don't start trying to distance yourself from Noel Edmonds just in case.
You're a terrible man. Things will come out about you in 20 years.
That's why I'll be dead by then.
That's your plan.
I'll do a rod hole. And so it's...
Kind of practice standing on roofs.
Good old Rod.
You can't say that and make everything... That makes everything okay. Good old Rod.
Good old lucky Rod. So his act was grabbing small boys' penises with his hand, for Christ's sake.
It was an emu.
It was his hand. He was a lovely man. I think we better end because you're driving back to Manchester.
Home. Yeah, and you've got a.
Well, I'm just trying to work out how long that'll take you. Not roughly
just,
exactly.
It's just Manchester. It's just Manchester.
Just the postcode, and then I can put it in
it
my.
It starts with M. It starts with M.
Fucking weird that she wouldn't tell us all her address. That's what I just think. That's really weird. So will you please give a massive round of applause to my guest, Sarah Milligan, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with Rebecca Front after this week. It'll be less weird. I'll be more respectful.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
On Formative, middle school kids from New York City public schools interview a phenomenal collection of grown-ups.
Me, like, I don't know what I want to do.
You don't have to have all the answers.
I feel like a lot of people's favorite topics are, like, interest in their life.
That is a really good answer.
The podcast where the leaders of today are interviewed by leaders of tomorrow. Listen now at newyorkedge.org/formative or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.